A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Today we're with Lynn, and I appreciate you being with us today, Lynn, to learn a little bit about you and your story when it comes to the carnivore diet and your why, and just to get a little bit more information about your particular situation, your challenges that you face. And yeah, hopefully you'll be able to inspire others with your knowledge and experience. So I thank you for being here, Lynn.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Adam.
Awesome. So can you start off by letting our subscribers know a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Lynn, obviously. I am a retired nurse, recently had to retire in February of this year, 2023, due to a serious illness. But I have a long history of health issues. I am married. I have been married for 33 years. And so I have a husband and I have three kids, all of them adopted, three grandkids, and spent most of my life in California. So pretty much born and raised in California. 10 years ago, when I was 45, moved up to Washington State. And so we are now living in the beautiful Puget Sound area.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet it's really beautiful up there. It's probably starting to get kind of cold now.
It's getting a little bit chilly. Yeah. But I actually enjoy it because I don't do well in the heat.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly to move up here.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I'm sorry to hear that you've had some health issues and challenges. So is that the reason why you started the carnivore diet?
Yes, absolutely. And I started it at the end of May of this year, but this was the second time I was on it. I was on it in October of 2021 for about 6 weeks, and then I quit. I know. And it was working. It was helping me. But my health wasn't in nearly as bad a condition then as it was when I started this time, because at this point I had been off on medical leave for almost a whole year and my health was desperate. My physical condition was getting desperate. And so my husband was the one that actually said, "Hey, why don't you try the carnivore diet again?" And so I knew I had to do something. And so that's when I decided to try it again. So I've been on it now for a little over 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you dive into a little bit about what your actual challenges are?
Absolutely. So my challenges actually started decades before I actually got a diagnosis. I started having kind of strange symptoms when I was in my 20s, along with other issues that were identifiable, such as polycystic ovarian syndrome, major fertility problems. And then through the course of doing fertility treatments, I started experiencing really severe anxiety and panic attacks. But I think that health issue was so overwhelming to me that I was ignoring these other symptoms. And at the time, the other symptoms were pretty much just pretty severe heat intolerance. Mm-hmm. And living in the Sacramento area of California, it would get pretty hot in the summertime. But I noticed that I would have symptoms, very severe symptoms in the heat much, much quicker than other people would. I would go from being fine to maybe 20, 30 minutes into being out in the heat, and I would feel like I was pretty much on the verge of having a heat stroke.
Oh, wow.
And I was done. I was dizzy and nauseated, and I was just, you know, I had to lay down, and I just felt horrible. Mm-hmm. And so, but I kind of brushed those symptoms aside. And because we were dealing with looking to adopt children, and the fertility treatments never worked. I did weed four times, never worked. And I was dealing a lot with the increasing anxiety. And after we adopted our first two, about a year later, I ended up having a complete nervous breakdown.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Ended up, I was working as an accountant at the time. The nursing is my second career. I was working as an accountant at the time, and I just was really struggling with the panic attacks. And one day I just had this overwhelming dread and fear that I was going to die because of symptoms I was having, anxiety symptoms. And I just told my coworkers, I got to go. And I left work and I drove myself to a psychiatric hospital, and they admitted me because I was convinced I was going to die. And so I was there for 5 days, and my body just completely collapsed. I mean, just when I got discharged, I ended up being in a partial hospitalization program for quite a few weeks. But when I wasn't in the program and at home, I couldn't do anything. Like, I could not bathe myself, really. I couldn't prepare any food. I had no energy at all. And so that took me quite a while to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And I did eventually end up recovering, but I gained weight. I didn't start gaining weight, actually, until I got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome in my early 20s. I was a normal weight prior to that. But over the course of decades of dealing with health problems, a lot of them things I just didn't know what was wrong with me. I gained a lot of weight. I have been to like 17 different specialists over the course of the years. Yeah.
That's a lot.
And so it's a lot. Yeah. So it really kind of started to escalate when I was, let's see, maybe 2014, I was nursing. I was working in hospital at the time, and I had a sudden attack of this dizziness and tachycardia. My blood pressure was really elevated. I mean, all my nursing colleagues came rushing to the rescue and took all my vitals, and, you know, and they immediately sent me down to the ER in the hospital I was working at. And they did the full workup on me and, did a CT scan of my head and did the whole cardiac workup. Didn't find anything. And the doctor sent me home with some meclizine for a possible inner ear. Didn't diagnose me officially, but said, well, maybe it's your inner ear. Here's some medication. See if it works.
Try this.
How often does that happen, right?
Right.
Well, the medication didn't work. And so I went through a whole series of tests with I went to see an audiologist and really got a good workup in my ear. And I did find out there was an issue with my ear. I have a vestibular conduction disorder. But it turns out that wasn't what was causing the problems. Went to see a neurologist, had a brain MRI. There wasn't anything alert. There was nothing concerning about that. And so I just kind of brushed it off and said, all right, well, I guess that was, I don't know what caused it. But then 2016, I had another attack. This time I was at home, and I was just sitting comfortably in my family room watching some TV. And all of a sudden my throat started to swell, and I developed severe tachycardia.
Oh, wow.
And it seemed like it was out of nowhere. And so I called 911, unlocked the front door, popped some Benadryl, told my daughter, I just called an ambulance. And then I sat down and waited. And when they arrived, they took my blood pressure, and it was like 220 over 120.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was really bad. They took me in to the ER, and the doctor ran some tests. And the first thought was because of the throat swelling, well, it's an allergic reaction to something. And so the tests were all run, and the doctor said none of the allergy, the test for allergies showed anything, but they ran a test called a serum tryptase, and that was elevated. I didn't have any idea what that was. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to go see an allergist. And so I went ahead and went to see an allergist, and they ran a whole series of tests and said, look, I'm the doctor. The doctor said, I'm thinking you may have a mast cell disease. And so he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you, he ordered another serum tryptase test and ordered a 24-hour urine collection that was testing for some specific chemical mediators that the mast cells actually release. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you have another attack, get these tests done. Well, I ended up having two more attacks while we were on vacation.
Oh, no.
And couldn't get the test done. And then I ended up also, I found out that heat was a trigger. And it kind of reminded me about back in my 20s when I was having the heat issues. We were in Manhattan, and then we were going to go on a cruise of the New England states and, you know, Eastern Canada. But when we were in Manhattan, it was actually kind of warm, and the subway was really stuffy. And I ended up having an attack just at Ground Zero in New York, in Manhattan. We were looking at the tower and the whole monument of Ground Zero. I was with my cousin who lives there, and all of a sudden I just felt it come on, and I felt the dizziness, and we couldn't get me, and my throat was swollen a little bit. It wasn't horrible. I told my husband, we have to go back to the hotel. So I had to ride all the way back through the subway and just like resting on his shoulder, and got back to the hotel. But by then it had been so long, I ended up developing severe abdominal cramping as well.
Oh, man.
And it took several hours, but it did finally pass in the coolness of the hotel room. So that happened twice during that vacation. So timing the tests was really hard. I finally got a real diagnosis last year. And because what ended up happening was during the pandemic, and working as a nurse, I was working outpatient nursing by this time. They sent us all home like in March of 2020, any of us who could work from home. And I was already working from home one day a week. And they sent us all home. And then around June, they said, okay, we're going to schedule nurse visits again. And so one of you at a time, come back into the office and do the nurse visit. So my turn came, and I had a reaction, same thing, throat swelling, dizziness, I developed nausea from the heat from my breath from wearing a mask.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I quickly told my boss, she said, go home. And I ended up being at home the whole rest of the time. But then my work said, look, we need nurses who can actually be here. So either you come in and wear the masks, or we're going to have to maybe find something for you that's officially a remote job. So I asked him, can I please go to the doctor? I was starting to get a workup years ago about this. Can I please go to the doctor and see if the doctor can solve this problem? And so they said, sure. So I did. And then I ended up needing to get a bone marrow biopsy. They retested my tryptase when I was not having a reaction. So it kind of circumvented his own rules and said, let's just do another serum tryptase. Mm-hmm. And they did the 24-hour urine, and I wasn't having a reaction. Well, the tryptase was even higher. And so it was 20-something, and the 20 is the cutoff where they're not sure which mast cell disease you might have. So he said, let's get a bone marrow biopsy and see whether you have systemic mastocytosis or mast cell activation syndrome. And so I had the bone marrow biopsy, and it did not show systemic mastocytosis, thank God. So he said, you have mast cell activation syndrome. And then we did a genetic test with the cheek swab and for hereditary alpha tryptosemia, which is another rare disease. And that came back positive. And that's why my mast cells produce extra tryptase copies whenever they degranulate, release all these chemicals, they produce extra tryptase. My tryptase is always high. But so it was kind of hard. And so it was basically with this condition, I have to avoid triggers. And so I had to tell my employer, I can't come back in and wear a mask because the heat from my breath is a trigger and I have to avoid the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then before they could say, okay, well, we're going to have to let you go, I ended up with this really bad abscess on my chest that I'd had this little cyst. And then we went to one of our timeshares and I was sitting in a hot tub and I don't think it was chlorinated well enough. And I developed into this abscess that I needed, like I had a course of antibiotics that didn't help at all. And then it got worse and worse and it was getting mushy and it actually tunneled all the way to my sternum.
Wow.
I had to get it drained and packed. And so they cultured what they took out of it and found this weird bacteria that was, the doctor said, sometimes it just show up in poorly chlorinated hot tubs and asked, had you been in a hot tub? And I, all of a sudden the light bulb went on. Yes.
Really?
And so I had to go every other day and get that wound care and get it repacked. And the infection just completely caused a huge flare of the mast cell disease. And so here I am, I'm still working from home and I'm working, triaging patients and helping patients over the phone. And I was incredibly exhausted. I couldn't think. Very often I couldn't get my words out. I would slur my speech or the words just wouldn't come out. I would be dizzy constantly, abdominal pain, nausea, and the body aches were horrible. And I just knew I was not safe as a nurse because mm-hmm. I can't have that, you know, and my days were getting shorter and shorter because I was feeling so bad. I just had to quit. I just would tell my colleagues, I can't keep going, to the point where I would maybe come in for an hour and I would say, I can't do it. And so I had to go on medical leave. And
wow.
Yeah. And so it was, they could only hold my job. They gave me, maybe my employer was great. They gave me all the chance to recover, but it was like 9 months and I still wasn't, my doctor still couldn't release me back. And so I ended up retiring in February. But over the course of that year with that horrible, horrible flare of the mast cell disease, I couldn't do anything other than lay around. And I gained more and more weight. And I was injuring myself if I tried to do anything. Like I ended up with lower back problems. I ended up injuring my knee all the time. My hips were in horrible pain. And this, my body pain was incredible. Like I would even wake up in the middle of the night with my hair follicles in so much pain.
Wow.
Mast cell disease can affect every poor part of your body. And my rosacea was horrible. It looked like a leper. I have videos on my channel about showing how bad some shorts and stuff showing how bad my rosacea was. But
for those that are watching that don't know what mast cell activation syndrome is, can you give it in layman's terms exactly what it is?
Absolutely. I've had to learn myself. Even as a nurse, I hadn't even heard of it before. Really, to understand what it is, you have to understand what your mast cell is. We all have mast cells. They're produced in our bone marrow, and they're kind of like the first responder of our immune system. And whenever our body is exposed to something foreign that the body sees as a threat, the mast cells will do something called degranulate. And inside the mast cells, there's over 200 chemical mediators. And so they basically dissolve and they send out these chemical mediators out through your body. And a lot of people can relate to allergies because allergy, when you feel the symptoms of an allergy, you're feeling those symptoms because of the histamine that's sent out to your body through your mast cells. And so that's why people will take an antihistamine when they have. So histamine is the biggest, you know, probably the most quantity-wise, the biggest chemical that's produced by the mast cells. But with my mast cells, so with a normal functioning mast cell, it's kind of like sending a fire truck out to fight a fire, right? They're the first responder. They'll go out and fight the fire. Well, my mast cells are like the fire truck is going out there, there's no fire. They're just going out and trying to fight a fire that's not there. Now, they do respond to all sorts of different stimulus and different triggers, but they also just kind of have a mind of their own as well. And so if you think about how you feel, like when you feel like you're coming down with something, that's because those symptoms you're having are part of your immune system gearing up to fight whatever you have. And so you feel terrible, mm-hmm. you know, but that's kind of baseline how I felt all the time. You know,
wow.
Horrible fatigue, body aches, you feel flushed, feeling like you're constantly coming down with something. That's the way, that was my baseline of how I felt.
That had to be horrible.
And I didn't really realize, I mean, I had been dealing with it for so long, but it does get progressively worse as you get older. And my diet was terrible. I mean, by the time, I think my highest weight was like 347 pounds. And I had lost some weight. I'd done keto for a couple of years, but kind of plateaued, and I've gained it all back. And then I did carnivore and lost some weight. So by the time I was come to wanting to try carnivore, I had weighed myself for a long time, but I knew I had gained a lot of weight back. So when I weighed in the very first time, and this was maybe a few days after starting carnivore, I was 339. So I was probably over 340 again by the time I started back the carnivore. Mm-hmm. But I knew I needed to do something. When it comes to mast cell activation syndrome, there's only like four places in the US where they have experts in this condition, and they're all back east, and I'm on the West Coast. And so I joined a couple of Facebook groups with a bunch of people who had, you know, both of my conditions. And then I started seeing a naturopathic doctor. The allergist that I was seeing threw some medication at me and said, come back and see me if you don't feel better in 3 months. And never said a word about avoiding triggers, identifying triggers.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up, the naturopathic doctor put me on some medication that was compounded that the allergist didn't put me on, but then also ran some additional tests, did a mycotox test. Tested me for mold toxicity, and it came back positive. And we ended up bringing in a mold specialist to do an inspection on our house. And our house was said the cleanest he's seen.
Hmm.
No mold issues in our home. So we're kind of wondering if I may be one of the, I guess there's a gene or something. Some people have this gene where you just don't really naturally detox mold properly. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that that's the case. So that allergist would have never identified that, never even brought it up. So I'm seeing a naturopathic doctor. We're running a bunch, you know, we're kind of checking off boxes, trying to get me detoxed from mold.
Mm-hmm.
But the carnivore diet was kind of like, I needed to do something because I was having like throat swelling, even though like my baseline was feeling like you're always coming down with a flu, there were also these more acute kind of episodes with the throat swelling and the dizziness and the nausea.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having probably two or three of those a week.
Wow.
And had to go back to the ER and, you know, the same thing, severe tachycardia, hypertension. And I finally I found this one doctor who I will listen to. And she said that she had not the mast cell activation syndrome, but the hereditary alpha tryptosemia that I also have. And they're related. So
mm-hmm.
she was saying that when she has these reactions, she takes rapid dissolved Claritin at the first sign of it. And then I found out at the ER, they gave me IV, basically Pepcid, famotidine. And I quickly felt better. So I thought, I'm going to get chewable famotidine, rapid dissolved Claritin, and I'm going to see if that'll help me when I start to feel an episode coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So that was good. That helped, but that didn't decrease the episodes. Mm-hmm. And then my naturopathic doctor put me on a new medication that made it so that I was only having an episode maybe once or twice a month. But at the point where I started the carnivore diet, I was still having episodes, you know, and sometimes more than twice a month. And my diet was just terrible because I felt horrible. And I felt like I had so much fatigue that every time I was reaching for food, it was looking for an energy source. I was trying to find something that would make me feel better. I knew I wasn't hungry, but I was looking for energy. And so it was usually sugar. And I'd eat ice cream, I'd eat whatever, and because I'd feel better for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give me a little bit of energy, and drank lots of coffee. And but my pain, my body pain, and I had bone pain. It was all getting worse. And so I knew I had to do something. And so the carnivore diet was kind of like my last attempt to get healthy.
Okay. How long ago did you actually start the carnivore diet back up?
May 27th of this year.
Of this year? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I decided to start a YouTube channel to hold myself accountable, you know, knowing what to expect.
Right.
And it was scary. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because so, I mean, I weighed a lot. I didn't weigh as much as some, but I was very self-conscious, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's always a tough position. And you have more strength than most, because the before picture, most people don't want people to see the before. So you're definitely going to be an inspiration for many by doing that.
Yeah, I was mortified when I, you know, the before picture that I shared with you, mm-hmm. That was taken at a baby shower in April of this year. And when all these pictures for the baby shower were posted on this, you know, group page that we have with the women in our church. And I saw that picture and I was just mortified. Like, oh my goodness. I sent you just the picture of me, but on one of my community posts, I actually put the full picture, which was me and then two other normal size women sitting on this couch. I put little smiley emojis over their heads, so you can't see them, but you can see the difference in our body sizes.
Right.
I mean, I was like mammoth and they were just these normal sized people. And I saw the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know, it happens to people, right?
Yep.
You don't really realize. And to some extent, I think I had a little bit of body dysmorphia on the side of, I didn't know how fat I was.
Right.
I just didn't see it until I saw that picture. So.
Wow. So since then, you have a couple of conditions that you're working through. Since you started the carnivore diet in May, have you seen any improvements in those conditions?
Absolutely. It was not like an automatic thing. And I know a lot of people will feel wonderful shortly after. I did have instant reduction in inflammation. I think within a few days, the body pain was starting to go away to a dramatic extent. It wasn't 100%, but it was to a dramatic extent. And I was losing weight. So I use a body composition scale. And so I always look and see, like, what does the scale weight say? But how much bone? I've gained bone, I've gained muscle. And so I can calculate my actual fat loss. And so I was reporting that, those metrics. Every Monday I report those metrics and I was seeing the weight come off. But I was so surprised because I was not able to exercise. It was just not safe for me to try to exercise at that point, because I was always injuring myself when I tried. So it was no exercise, but I was gaining muscle and I was gaining bone without exercising at all. And so I was just going, what? Like, unbelievable. Like, I'm obviously giving myself the building blocks for what I need, because I lost muscle like crazy when I was on medical leave and just laying around. So it was so encouraging to me to see the muscle gain and the bone gain, and very motivating. So I thought, okay, obviously this is doing something in my body. And I realized, like, I have an immune system disease. So I don't know how my body is going to respond ultimately, but it's obviously good things are happening. Mm-hmm. So it gave me motivation to continue. And my rosacea, I was seeing a little bit of improvement. And my gut wasn't necessarily improving that much. And so I decided to go on the Lion diet and just really restrict things way down. Because I had already been, like, when I started out, I was doing like everybody else does. And I was eating the bacon and eggs, and I was eating the cheese, and I was putting creamer in coffee. And, you know, I was doing and eating pork. And then I realized I need to cut back on the higher histamine foods. And so I had to cut out the bacon, which is sad because I love bacon. And then egg whites are high in histamine. The egg yolks were fine. So I was just doing egg yolks, and I cut out the dairy. And then I ended up eventually cutting out all eggs and just going on the Lion diet because I was seeing some improvement, but I felt like I really not quite there yet. And so I did the Lion diet for 6 weeks. Okay. And I feel like this, so I was doing beef, lamb, and salt. And obviously water, and I drink Element for electrolytes. But that's when I really started seeing improvement in my rosacea and in my gut. My gut was, because I was always having some sort of pain in my gut. So that the gut pain went away. My rosacea is so much better. It's not 100%, but it is so much better. Like, I don't have any makeup on. And I looked like a leper before. So, red blotches all over my face.
Well, that's a huge deficit right there.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge. Yeah, absolutely. And I was so self-conscious about it because, I mean, people would look at me like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong with you?
Right.
And so I did the Lion diet for 6 weeks and I decided I'm going to see if I can, you know, treat it like an elimination diet. And I did end up adding back fish, and I've done fine with fish. And then I tried to add back ghee. This was just last week. And not sure how it really went. I think maybe my gut was having some issues with it. So I'm just kind of hanging out with the beef, the lamb, and now the fish. And I did add a couple more seasonings. I can't do black pepper, but I can do white pepper. Black pepper is high in histamine. And so, but I have lost, as of this Monday when I weighed in, so the scale was down 55 pounds. I've gained over 19 pounds of muscle. I've gained 1.4 pounds of bone. So my actual fat loss is a little over 75 pounds.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's only been what, six months?
It's been 6 months.
Okay.
One other thing that the Lion diet did is it cut my throat swelling and tachycardia dizzy reactions down to almost zero. I think the whole 6 weeks that I was on the Lion diet, I only had one time. And I really believe that that was some tree that was, I do have some allergies. I think that was like a tree. We were out driving around and sometimes there's some stuff going on with the leaves falling and everything I will react to. Can't control everything.
Right. Well, like Dr. Chafee says, plants are trying to kill you.
Oh, they're literally trying to kill me.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, but I started about a little over 3 months in, I started trying to walk. In fact, one of my viewers called me out and said, I could tell you're not even exercising. And I said, you're right. I'm not. And I'm kind of scared too. And he just really encouraged me to just take it slow, start moving. And I started to exercise, tried to go around my block, which is maybe a quarter of a mile. And it was limping and staggering. I couldn't even walk a straight line. And I tweaked my knee, but I kept doing it. And now I've been able to go, I've been going on these mall walks with all the old ladies, even though I'm not old, but you know, and I went on yesterday. We went and I walked about 2 miles.
Oh, wow. That's a huge difference.
Yeah. And I didn't have any problems. And usually, and before, like I could hardly shower. And so I would maybe shower once a week, which was disgusting. I realized I'd take baths because I just didn't have the strength like to lift my arms over my head. And I was just, and I can't take hot showers because the heat is such a trigger. I have to take kind of more, a little warmer than lukewarm, but I just didn't have the strength to shower. And so I got to the point like maybe 3 months in or so where I could shower a little more often, but I'd have to go lay in bed for a couple hours afterwards to recover.
Wow.
And now I can shower and just go on with my day. And
that's amazing.
I haven't been able to do that for a really long time.
That's amazing.
These, all these little like non-skill victories that are so meaningful to me because they really impact my life and my ability to feel like I can function like a normal human being. It's just, I can't imagine what my life is going to be like in another year, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's, what do they say? Cells, every cell in your body renews itself every, what, 7 years or something like that. So, you know, at least in my case, I'm like, hey, if I feel like this the way I do now, and it just continues to get better and possibility of being like totally, completely normal within 7 years, I mean, I just can't even believe it.
I felt like I
was on death's door almost, you know, not literally, but, you know, you get older, you know, I was 46 at the time. And I just assumed, you know, hey, this is what it feels like when you start to get this age, and it just, it's all downhill from here, and I might as well just hang up my hat, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't feel that way anymore.
I mean, same with me. Like, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I mean, and doctors didn't know. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was told that it was just stress. And yeah, I figured, oh, well, maybe it's depression or whatever, but I'm not a depressed person. I mean, I didn't feel depressed. I mean, I'm a happy person.
Right.
And so I just kind of felt like there's just something missing that we don't know, you know, something. And it's back when I started having symptoms, nobody knew that there was such a thing as mast cell activation syndrome or hereditary alpha tryptosemia. Mast cell disease was discovered, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I think it's been for like 5 or 6 years with the hereditary alpha tryptosemia. As I'm listening to the experts in the mast cell disease, they're saying that they think it's a lot more common than was originally thought. It's still listed on the National Institute of Health website as rare, and then under their rare diseases, both of them are. But they said up to possibly maybe 1 in 6 people have it and don't realize it.
Wow.
And
that's huge.
It comes in, you know, it comes in various severities. It's a spectrum, right? But it does get progressively worse as you get older. So after I learned more about it, and I was still nursing at the time, I started recognizing patients that were kind of similar to me, who had been to a ton of specialists without getting any answers and were really frustrated and having weird symptoms. And I just started telling them about mast cell activation syndrome and said, hey, you know, you may not have it, but at least it's something else to add to the list to investigate. And I think one of the things that I'm trying to do with my channel, a lot of it is my weight loss and everything, but to share about it, because if up to 1 in 6 people has it, there's going to be people out there that have and don't realize it, or their symptoms are mild right now, but as they get older, they might start to have other weird symptoms that they don't understand. And I just want it to be something that comes to mind for people. This is a real thing. And I listen to somebody who has it. I'm starting to have strange symptoms that sound like it could be this. Yeah. Cause it can affect, you know, your neurological system. It can affect, you know, any organ system in your whole body, and your skin is an organ. So also your skin. And so, but in order to even be suspected of having it, you have to have at least 2 organ systems that are affected. And everybody that I've talked to who has it, that's like not even an issue. Most of us have multiple systems that are affected by it.
Interesting. So in the space surrounding this disorder, is it ever talked about diet as a possible solution, or is it?
You know, it is among those of us who have it. Again, because there's so few experts, the regular doctors I've seen, they don't really say anything about diet. Mm-hmm. I told the allergist, I actually asked the allergist, should I be like avoiding high histamine foods? And he says, well, you can if you want.
Well, thanks. I knew that.
Thank you. I wasn't asking for your permission.
Right.
I'm asking for your expert medical advice. But, you know, among those of us who have it, we know that histamine is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to be, you know, avoiding high histamine foods. And there's a really, really good, thorough list that was put out by this Swiss interest group. On histamine intolerance, and I use that as my guideline for what I can eat. And I, of course, now I'm just sticking with the carnivore foods.
Mm-hmm.
But even there's a lot of carnivore foods that are high histamine.
Right.
And shelf life is important too. I mean, in leftovers, like you can't just put leftovers in the fridge. Like I can eat them maybe a day later, but the longer leftovers are staying in the fridge, the more histamine they develop just naturally on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But aged cheeses, aged meat, anything smoked, I automatically can't have. I can't have anything fermented. Those are an automatic no. And, you know, pork, if it's really, really fresh, I could have pork. Fish is supposed to be really fresh, but can't have bacon, you know. And again, egg whites are high histamine. And so there's a lot that I can't have.
That's one thing that I was going to ask you in terms of beef on the carnivore diet and the histamine level. So I'm familiar with Michaela Peterson's issues, and she has to have beef that is not aged at all. It's literally slaughtered and flash frozen almost immediately. So is that something like what you have to do?
I'm not as bad as her. But I do have, we got our beef from a local rancher, and I can't have it hung longer than maybe a couple of weeks. So, and that's all they hung it. And so I've been fine with it, but I have to be careful, but not as careful as her.
Okay.
Yeah. But I cannot eat chicken. Chicken will make my throat swell.
Yeah. I can't either just because it tastes like cardboard, but.
Well, when I did eat chicken, I was only eating the dark meat anyways, because I didn't like the white meat. But and it's weird with chicken. Some chicken will make my throat swell and others won't. And I just don't want my throat to swell, so I don't eat it.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So do you eat any smoked meats like brisket or?
Can't have anything smoked because it's high histamine.
Okay. That's what I figured.
Which is unfortunate because it's all delicious.
Right. Yeah. We bought a smoker recently and I had been on the carnivore diet for quite a while and it was strict BBB&E and almost eliminated butter altogether. So that really wasn't into that equation, but I smoked a pork butt for the first time and man, I really had an issue with that eating that because I think I had to smoke it like 10 hours or something like that. And I don't know if it was just what it was comprised of, like what the hog ate, or if they aged it longer, or if it was just the smoking that did it, or my body just doesn't like pork. But man,
it could have been a histamine response. You have a lot of histamine receptors in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people will end up with a gut response, just very upset, unhappy gut.
I'm hoping that was not it. we spent a lot of money on that smoker, way more than we probably should have. It was like $750. And I'm like, man, I'm going to be able to smoke all these, you know, my steaks and all this stuff and brisket and everything. And it seems like every time I use it, I have some sort of an issue with those meats. So
yeah, I mean, it might not be able to do it. It's unfortunate, but you know, if it's, I mean, think about it, it's an immune response in your body, and that definitely takes a toll when you're constantly mounting an immune response to something. And so, I mean, that's why I just would rather avoid the things that cause me to have my symptoms. It's just way easier to feel good.
Right. for sure.
You know, and the food is still good. I mean, the food, I use my sous vide all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I just air fry, and I use beef tallow. And the food's delicious.
And so what's a typical meal look like for you?
So we have the beef that we got, you know, from the farm, and we also got a half a lamb. So I mean, I'll pull out some steaks, and I'll always have ground beef. The ground beef from our cow that we bought is actually so much better than what we would get at the grocery store. So nice. I always have at least 2 or 3 pounds of ground beef. A lot of times I'll mix it with some ground lamb, and then I'll just season it and make sure it's all mixed really well. And then I'll just put it in a Ziploc bag in my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I feel like eating like lunch or something, I'll pull out some and I'll just smash it onto an insert for my air fryer, you know, stick it in the air fryer and air fry it.
Nice.
And then a lot of times at dinner time, we'll have, you know, of course we love ribeye.
Oh yeah.
You know, ribeye's the favorite, but we have, you know, we have chuck roast. We have all different kinds of steaks. We have lamb chops, and I just, one of the cuts we got was an arm roast, which I hadn't had before. It's delicious. It's really
never
good.
Heard of that one.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And so I'll do those, like the roast I'll do like in my crock pot.
Okay.
Right. Everything else I'll sous vide. I've got a bunch of meat in the sous vide right now, and then we'll just take it out and air fry it, you know, and it's amazing. So
that's
good.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you started the carnivore diet roughly 6 months ago, and your symptoms have improved. So do you attribute your success with the carnivore diet alone, or is it just the fact that you had eliminated foods, or how do you feel about that?
I feel like it's both. I feel like it's the fact that I did eliminate foods because of the fact that I have the issues with the histamine. I needed to eliminate those foods. But the actual, so from the perspective of being less reactive, I think eliminating all those other foods is probably really the big key for me. But when it comes to the weight loss, the decrease in overall inflammation, the muscle gain, the bone gain, my increased stamina, 100% the carnivore diet. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good to hear, because I feel the same way. I was doing a vegan diet for almost 2 years prior to switching cold turkey straight into the carnivore diet. And I can attest that in terms of how I felt, it's night and day. It's literally night and day. And I was doing the more raw vegan diet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so doing lots of juicing and things like that, eating mountains and mountains of spinach and green smoothies. And yeah, so after I switched, I definitely can attest that the carnivore diet is far superior, at least for me, in terms of healing and energy and just how you feel overall. I, of course, I had some oxalate dumping that came along with that.
Sure.
Eating so much spinach.
Yeah.
And that was wild, but it was wild to know that that stuff was inside me. Right.
Well, once you learn, it's like, whoa, like, why didn't I know that? And why didn't anybody tell me that? And, but I know with me, I just feel grateful that I know now.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? And for me, it took me quite a few months before I started feeling like I was starting to get some energy. It wasn't as fast as with a lot of other people. And I think it's because I had been out on medical leave for so long, and I do have an immune system disease, which is very inflammatory. But probably about the 5-month mark, and this is probably like maybe a couple weeks or so after doing the Lion diet, I started having these days where I had energy. And that was something that honestly I had not experienced since I was maybe a teenager. My whole adult life, like my whole adult life, I did not have good days at all. And I remember too, I mentioned this on my channel. There was a couple of other people that commented that, yeah, I've experienced that too. I would just be sitting quietly and all of a sudden I would feel this sense of well-being come over me. And like, it was profound, this feeling. It's like, is this what it feels like to feel good?
Right.
Like, oh, I can't believe. And that is happening more frequently.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
And I'm just wondering if at some point as I heal, if that's going to be my new normal, because if it is, watch out, because there's not, I'm going to be on top of the world. Like literally, I feel like I have spent my whole adult life feeling horrible. And I told my husband goes, oh, so you're feeling better. You want to go back to work? I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not that much better, but honestly, even if I am to the point where I'm well enough to go back and work, I don't want to.
Right.
Because I have worked my whole life feeling horrible. And I feel like I have so much time to make up for. Right. And, you know, I just want to enjoy feeling good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you guys can swing it, that definitely would help in your recovery process, I'm sure.
It has. Because I know that even just since I got the news that I was, you know, going to be retiring and I didn't realize how much of a burden I was carrying for my nursing team. I mean, I was the senior nurse on the nursing team and I was one of the nurse preceptors. So I trained new nurses and I know that me not being there was putting a real stress on the team and they couldn't hire somebody to replace me as long as I was on medical leave. And so, yeah, I was so relieved when they just finally said, we can't hold your job any longer. I was like, okay.
All right. Well,
yeah, I understand.
Right.
Yeah. Cause then it's like, okay, good. You can hire somebody else and you'll have a full team now and it won't be I won't be a burden anymore.
Yeah. That's, you got better days ahead. I could tell we're going to have Super Lynn in one of your videos coming up.
I certainly hope so. I'm looking forward to it. And I have a goal of sometime in 2024, I want to complete a 5K. I don't need to run it.
Right.
But I want to sign up and actually complete a 5K. Nice. So that's one of my goals. Another one of my goals is, so my husband flies, not for a living, but he's a private pilot. We have an airplane. And I've never been able to fly with him because I don't fit in his airplane.
Right.
And
yeah, some of the smaller ones are, yeah, they're pretty small.
Yeah, it's small. It's a Cessna 150. It's a smaller, okay. It's a small plane. And so he said that a passenger, you know, with his weight and everything, his passenger needs to be under 250 pounds.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I've got a little ways to go. I'm like 284 right now.
Right. You're getting close.
I'm getting there. Yeah. So I will. One of my big things is to be able to, for the very first time ever, to fly. And he's been flying since I met him when we were in college. And like 33 years we've been married, and I've never flown with him.
Oh, my goodness.
I started gaining weight fairly early on.
You better bring the camera.
I'm going to film it. Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely going to film it. In fact, I have a lot of my viewers going, yes, we want to see. We can't wait to see when you can finally fit in that airplane and fly for the first time with your husband.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. You're going to have a GoPro on your chest, on your head, one in your hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have several GoPros that we can hook up to the plane and stuff. So we'll make sure to record. And
oh, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So speaking of your channel, what are your plans for your channel? Like kind of what are you doing with it now? And maybe what do you see doing in the future?
Well, it's been kind of organically growing. I started it for myself for accountability. I honestly didn't know if anybody would even start following me, and I'm getting close to 900 subscribers. I'm just like this close to the 3,000 watch hours.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to bring some value. And I know there's a lot of people that are YouTubing. I'm sharing my journey, of course, mm-hmm. you know, and I do share a nursing perspective on things. I have some videos that are a little more sciencey. You know, I did a video about, you know, histamine intolerance and low histamine carnivore diet. And I've done a video on, you know, my experiences with iodine and, you know, and I've been doing some live streams. I've been interviewing people and, you know, just trying to chronicle my journey and kind of get to know my viewers a little bit. You know, cool. I am part of the book club, the low carb book club that meets every Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
And so 5 o'clock Eastern time. And we're going through the Jason Fung obesity code.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's a live stream that I'm on and I stream it to my channel.
Okay.
But you know, I've never been one to like ask people to subscribe. And I know so many people do, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just like so self-conscious. So like when I say that my channel grows organically, it just really does, because I never ask anybody to like or subscribe or share or anything. I just put myself out there, and you know, if people want to watch, they want to watch. And if they want to subscribe, they subscribe. Yep. And yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to put your links in the description and try to get you a couple more anyways.
Oh, well, that would be nice.
We definitely everybody needs to spread this message far and wide, because it's not going to be suggested by the mainstream. And in my opinion, it's not going to be, at least anytime soon. So the ground up, how we're going to have to spread this, and spreading all of our anecdotal evidence, you know, that.
And it means something. I mean, I realize anecdotal evidence from one person may not mean a lot, but the more of us share our stories, the more it can't be ignored.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's why I decided to start interviewing people on my channel too, because it's like we're kind of interviewing each other, but it's reaching a broader audience that way. And, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully the healthcare system is they will no longer be able to ignore it. If there's enough people that are seeing pretty incredible results, much better results than they're seeing by going to their regular doc, that's for sure.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
And what's interesting today, you're actually the second nurse that I've interviewed today.
Oh, wow.
The first one was a nurse at a inpatient psychiatric center. So his passion is to get patients off of the SSRIs and the heavy medications that those folks are on with the carnivore diet. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, in my last 7 years of nursing, I was specializing in gastroenterology and hepatology. I wish I knew. I mean, of course, if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have gotten fired because all the doctors were pushing fiber and, you know, vegetables and your whole grains. And I would have been telling people with their Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis and all of that to go carnivore.
Right.
Because carnivore is going to heal you and put you in permanent remission and get you off the medications. And I know now there's so many case studies done, and there's people who are in remission from autoimmune diseases and getting off of their medications. And so, yeah, I probably would have been in trouble, but
For sure. I mean,
gastroenterology, they don't talk that much about nutrition, you know, other than pushing the food guide pyramid.
Yeah. And fiber. I mean,
lots of fiber.
I just don't understand. It seems like that area of health is just so far behind.
I see that. I really see that now. And I didn't see that when I was working there. And even though I had done the carnivore diet back in 2021, it didn't click, because back when I was doing it then, I wasn't listening to people on YouTube and I wasn't listening to the doctors. I wasn't listening to other people share their stories. I was just doing it on my own. And this time around, I'm listening to everybody that I can. And so now I know, like, fiber is not good for you. It's messing your gut up.
It's essentially like swallowing a sack of screws. You just, something that you can't digest or assimilate. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
And it's so inflammatory.
Right.
I mean, you're dealing with people with inflammatory autoimmune diseases and then telling them to eat these inflammatory foods. Mm-hmm. And now I know that that makes zero sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So what does Lynn do for a hobby in your free time?
Okay. Well, now that I actually have some energy, like before I had energy, it was binge watch TV. And because I didn't have any energy to do anything. And I crochet. I mean, I've been crocheting since I was a child. So I crochet and I do enjoy reading. But now that I actually have some energy, I am getting back into geocaching.
Oh, nice.
I love, you know, my husband and I were geocaching back when I had an era where I felt kind of okay. And so I have actually, my neighbor invited me to this 50 plus women of my county Facebook group, and they're very active. So that's where I got hooked up with the mall walking, and I've been going to different events, and I've been hosting geocaching events.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm really wanting to do as much as possible outdoors. And I hate cooking. So cooking is not a hobby. And so this is the best diet for people who don't like cooking.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I cannot stand spending time cooking. It just seems like a total waste. It's almost annoying that I have to eat anything.
Oh, I know.
I want to do other stuff.
Me too. Yeah. But my youngest daughter is getting married in May. And so, you know, I'm really wanting to be able to have to look good for her wedding and to have the stamina to dance at her wedding and not hurt myself and not get worn out too quickly. And so that's a kind of a interim goal is to really be able to be in good shape for her wedding at the beginning of May.
You're
exercise is higher on my priority right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I found that exercise was like, it didn't even mean anything in terms of weight loss and muscle tone and stuff. For whatever reason, it was just happening. Like I had no control over it. It was just working out that way. I'm like, this is
right.
Great.
Well, that's same with me. Like I said, I was gaining all this muscle and bone without even exercising at all. So it's just this diet does that to you.
It's miraculous.
And then when you have the muscle, you actually have some energy to exercise. It's like the muscle comes first and then the exercise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
At least during my experience.
During that 24-hour live stream that Carrie and I did and so many others,
mm-hmm.
when it was time to take a break, I would actually, so I'm actually in an outbuilding outside my house.
Okay.
And probably about 75 feet from here to the house, I would sprint back and forth to the house just to burn off some energy, even during trying to stay awake during 24-hour live stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched that live stream. That was amazing. I don't know how you guys did it.
I don't either. Looking back now, because I hit a wall eventually. But
oh, yeah. One of these days, I want to sprint, and I'm not there yet. I think I still weigh too much to do it safely. But just right now, increasing movement is the key. And being able to walk without injuring myself is important. And I'm seeing great progress.
That's awesome. I really love that. So looking forward in your YouTube channel, so is it going to be more of the same? Well, we already know we're going to get a flying video. So is it going to be more of the same?
Yeah, well, I do every Monday. I do my weekly weigh-in video, and I usually do a recap of the previous week. And you know, I do other videos of just stuff that's going on, you know, in my life and things I'm doing. Like, so sometimes I show what I eat, which often it's a lot of the same. Today I did an unboxing video because I ordered something new for my kitchen that was going to be helpful for me. So I did an unboxing video. I'm going to do more, planning on doing more exercise videos of just kind of what I'm doing, not trying to teach anybody to exercise because I'm not the person to do that, but just to kind of share what I'm doing and the progress that I'm making. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, you're a nurse and ask me questions, but I'm not an expert. I mean, I'm not an expert in carnivore diet. I mean, none of us really are, right?
Right.
I mean, this is all new to all of us. So I don't really, I'm kind of my own guinea pig. I don't know how my body's going to respond, but I can report to you how it's doing.
Yep.
And share that I couldn't exercise before and now I can do this. So I'm, you know, I want to do more of that. And as, yeah, the winter is going to be a little challenging because it does rain a lot here. But when the on nice days, I like to do more filming outdoors as well. And, you know, and people like seeing my dog, Max. So,
nice. It's always nice to have a mascot in
yeah. You know. Yeah. I'm continuing to do live streams with interviews. I've got some, I've got Carrie from My Metamorphosis coming up. I've got Nicole from Former Fat Girl, and I have, I'm going to feel bad if I don't remember the third. I've got several coming up.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. I can't wait to check those out. Maybe I'll try to get in there and try to restrain myself from trolling.
Yeah. You know what? You're welcome to come and share your story on my channel too. I love to share everybody's stories and.
Okay.
Everybody has something different and a different perspective and a little something different, and different people will connect with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm game anytime. Anytime you want to lower your standards and have me on, I'm more than willing.
No, are you kidding? Lowering my standards would be interviewing a vegan.
Right. I'm a former vegan, so I guess that's close enough.
You know, not to say anything about vegans. I've got vegans in my family that we love.
Right.
I have to remember there's a lot of the doctors that will say, you know, at least they're working on their health.
Right.
They just are doing it wrong.
Right. For sure. Well, I was doing it wrong because I wasn't doing it for my health. My business partner had cancer and it was he got the protocol from a guy that had the same type of cancer 20 years ago that was a friend of his, and he's still alive. So he's like, oh, well, if he's still alive, I'm doing this diet. Right. Mm. And as a show of solidarity with him, I decided I'm going to do this diet with you. And I can't stand vegetables. Like I've never liked vegetables. All of a sudden I'm eating raw vegetables, you know, for two years. And it was just so gross.
What a good friend you are.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, but it made my autoimmune condition worse, the vitiligo.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah.
I had it around my waist. And I never really kind of put two and two together until after I searched for a way to fix it once it started showing up on my arms. Because now it's somewhere that's external where people are going to see it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's going to spread to my face and all this other stuff. So did a search. Joe Rogan has the same condition and he was on carnivore diet and it started to reverse. Next thing you know, I'm like, you know, hey, my health is my health.
Yeah, there's your answer.
It's long enough with you. I'm making the switch. So
yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, however, whenever everyone has their own why, and everyone has their own timing, and it's unfortunate too that a lot of times we have to get desperate before we try this way of eating. But right now, that's the case with a lot of people because right now it's portrayed as a really extreme way of eating, and I'm hoping that over time that will change and it'll be considered a genuinely viable way to eat.
Absolutely. I think it's the way that kings would eat ribeyes. I mean, come on, that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Well, Lynn, I thank you for joining me today. And so before we go, do you want to give a shout out to your YouTube channel? And I think you also have an Instagram as well.
Yeah, I'm not a good Instagram person, so I'm slowly putting some things on there. But yeah, my YouTube channel is where I spend most of my time. It's at Midlife Carnivore. Anyone who wants to email me, if they want to, you know, we're watching this and you're carnivore and you want to come on my channel, happy to have you. It's midlifecarnivore@gmail.com. And then my Instagram is just the midlife_carnivore. So it's easy to find.
Very cool. Awesome. Lynn, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I'm sure you'll be an inspiration to many, especially once we see that flying video. So everybody go subscribe to Midlife Carnivore and check Lynn out, especially when she gets up in the skies with her husband.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Lynn, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.